One.
Okay, let's try again.
Oh. One, two,
yeah,
three.
We're on
testing. One, two.
Yeah. Okay, this is Mr. Gene Jones. Mr. Jones, where were you born and where did you
I was from? Born in a little town south of Memphis, Tennessee, 85 miles, name of Sardis, S-A-R-D-I-S, Mississippi, Panola County.
Okay.
And I'm a farm boy, raised on the farm, and I liked the farm work very much. I went to public school, Sardis, Mississippi. I went to Pinewood High in Pinewood, Mississippi. I went to Russ College in Holly Springs, Mississippi. And I also went to night school at Manassas High, machine work. That was in Memphis, Tennessee, Manassas High. And machine operator and electrical work. And also at that point, I was going to school at night and I was working at the Elbrus Lumber Company. And as a matter of fact, I happened to be a friend of Ed Bruce, the second son. And I worked right along the ditches with him, which makes me pretty proud. And he started me, and he liked me very much, and I started to take an electrical course, and I finally worked up as an electrician for Elbrus Lumber Company. And I went, at that time, the war broke out, went down to Tuskegee to get into the Air Force, a bunch of my friends that left Memphis, and some of them was killed, some got back. And one very fortunate fellow, his name was Luke Weathers, was the first black ace, and a very close friend of mine. And I would like to say that at that point, if I couldn't make that, I went to California. I worked for your Great Lake Coffers Corporation for 2 days, and the lawyers came out and said, you don't work here, you go with us. They took me to Western Pipe and Steel as an electrician. I went to Western Pipe and Steel, and I started to work there. My time at Western Pipe and Steel was a little better than 4 years. About 2.5 years. Then I started work for the Navy. However, I was doing a lot of work for Western Pipe and Steel. Going to work for Western Pipe and Steel, they gave me OJT, 4 hours on the job training and 4 hours working. I did this for 3 years. I worked from a apprentice electrician, a lead man, assistant foreman, and test crew superintendent for Western Pipe and Steel in the Department of the Navy. And I, this time, one thing I want to say, and this kind of concerns Alaska, the icebreaker north wind that goes up on the slope all the time. They hadn't changed the bulkheads aft, forward, or aft, or starboard, or whatever. I could probably walk through there with my eyes closed. Since they did that, I probably couldn't. But I'm the guy that brought the loom back into San Pedro on the icebreaker, north wind. The war was over. I went into electrical contracting for myself, American Electrical Radio Service. Worked for quite a long time. Wife and I got a divorce, and I came to Alaska. Matter of fact, I got here with 17 cents in my pocket, didn't know anyone. And
what year was that?
1952. May 2nd, 1952. And I met some very nice people here. One particular person, her name was Margot Moore, was working in the between 15th and 16th on the Trails End Motel. I walked in and I asked her, how much was a coffee and donut? She says, 35 cents. I said, well, how much is a cup of coffee? And she says, 15 cents, and I had 17 cents. So I gave her, I said, give me the cup of coffee. She gave me the coffee, and I drank about half of it. Then I poured about 3 big tablespoons of sugar into it, filled it up with milk. I started to drink it, and she snatched it away from me. She said, what are you fixing to do? I said, I'm going to drink this. And she said, what's wrong? I said, lady, I haven't had anything to eat for about 3 days. I said, if this was you, you would drink it too. And she drank it and she pulled it out. She looked me in the eye and said, what do you work there? What kind of work do you do? I told her I was an electrician. She said, if I feed you, would you pay me? I said, sure. And she told the girl, the cook in the back, said, give me, so you like ham? I said, sure. She gave me 3 slices of toast, and a ham steak, and 3 eggs, and a nice cup of coffee. She said, have a good breakfast. And Mr. Chuck Ward, who married to Dr. Hughes' daughter here, was trying to get someone to put in the first drive-in that I've seen in Fairbanks at 17th and Cushman. And he couldn't get the electrician, so he ran across me and I installed electrical for him. And matter of fact, by the supervision of Mr. Lou Joy, who was working for MUS at that time, he gave me a great start. He said, son, I hope you stay here. We need people like you in Alaska. And I today say, congratulations, Lou. And then I worked a while for Golden Valley a year as an electrician. And at that point, I figured I'd go in business for myself. And I went in business for myself in 1953. And I've constantly been in business for myself.
Okay. What are some of the things that you think of most or highlights in your life that are most important to you?
Well, some of the things are very important to me. I got here in Alaska and I love Alaska. And I've always in my life wanted to try to help people. And I was the project manager for the North Suburban Community Action Agency here, which I had 85 natives and 20 blacks and whites under my supervision here in Fairbanks. That was 1965, 66, and 67. And we worked, done a lot of help for people during the flood with that project.
What was the name of that agency again?
North Star Borough.
Yeah.
Community Action Agency.
Community Action Agency. Okay.
And at that point, we helped a lot of people. And I do want to say that the food markets here at that time used to give us plenty of food. And down at the Methodist Church here, 2nd Avenue, we had a group of cooking in there. We did cleaning. We did a lot to help the church, and not only the church, but a lot of people had hot meals, hot lunch, otherwise would not have had a chance to eat. And I'm constantly believing that should be what poor people could eat, and this is what I felt. And I felt the church did a good job, and I felt the markets here, thanks to the markets and all the people that helped. Another thing after that, still working as a contractor and everything, I got a job with the state in Nome, teaching at Northwest Community College, electrical course up there. I had 16 students. And a little better than the term I taught up there, and I would say this, that I said out of the 16 that I had about 3 real good ones that taught real good. And some of them didn't do quite as good, and some didn't do anything, but it was a good program, and I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. You like teaching?
Well, I enjoyed the electrical end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's it. What, have you got any sort of plans or ideas of what you'd like to do now with your life, or
Well, I have no plans other than I love Alaska and I don't think I'll leave. Too bad that I'm not able to work. I got hurt in 74 and I haven't been able to work since, but I still love Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were your influences in your life to make you think the way you do? Can you think of people that influenced you or incidents that influenced you?
Well, yes, very much so. My mother and father, let's start with my mother first. I said she spoiled me.
Mm-hmm.
She used to tell me all the time, she said, son, don't fight women. I said, women are good people, don't fight them. And I'm proud to say that I have not fought a woman in my life, I don't believe in fighting any violence. And my father used to tell me that if you can't be good, be right, just don't do anything. Try to help people and work for what you get. Don't steal, don't be a liar. And I try to live by that. Sometimes I've said one thing to myself a few times. I've had a few girlfriends and women. I said, some of them should be dead, but I'm not going to be the one to kill. That's the truth.
I don't know whether I'll print that or not. I should like to.
But I can't work.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like to say one more thing. Proud of Alaska, and I think Alaska has helped my family, and I'm proud. I'm 67 years old. Born 1917, I think that'll be 67. And I have an 8-year-old boy, and he loves Alaska, and he's here with me now. I'm really proud of him being here. You'll get a chance to see the picture tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me stop and think of things that I need to ask. I should leave that on, and then I don't have to worry about turning it on.
Well,
tape
will be running the tape out. That's the only thing.
Oh, there's lots and lots of tapes. Oh, one thing, why they never ask you these questions or anything? And you have a son and a daughter here as well, an older son?
Yes, I have one, not my oldest son. My baby boy is here. He's 8 years old. He's up taking a vacation. He got here on the 26th of July until the 31st of August, 1985. But my oldest son, he's in California. He's head of the Export Import Department for Positrack.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest daughter, she is in California, Los Angeles. I've forgotten now what job she has there now. And I do have a stepdaughter in Oklahoma City.
Oh, I thought you had more family here. So you're all alone here, basically, except for your young
son? No, I do have. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have put that in there. I do have a daughter here.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, my daughter, her name is Renee Jones. She was the meter maid for the city here for a while. I think she was the first meter maid for the city. And now she's unemployed. And my son, he's down in Wasilla working.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you don't think you'll ever live anywhere other than Alaska?
I don't think so.
Alaska's home to you now?
It's home.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I had a fellow ask me one day, about 2 years ago, he said, where's your home? I said, Fairbanks, Alaska. And I said, where are you from? I said, Fairbanks, Alaska. Where's your home? I said, Fairbanks, Alaska. Well, would it be 35 years?
That's right, yeah. You're here that long.
Yeah.
Did you notice any difference with statehood? Did statehood affect you in any way? What did you think about all that?
Well, I voted for statehood. Since that time, I thought whether I made a good vote or not, but I voted for it.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
What were you thinking of at that time? What was Fairbanks like when you first came?
Well, it sure wasn't like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a time, one time when it was real cold, you couldn't get your old truck started. I was working. 21st and Cushman, off Ladd Street in Cushman, rather, on the corner of Ladd and Judd, where I first landed when I came to Alaska, 211 Ladd Street. And now that we own that property and the shop is sitting there. And a minute a day, I have walked from Ladd Street down to 4th and Cushman to the grocery store here to get milk,
mm-hmm.
food for the family. Because you couldn't call a cab, you didn't have a phone, so you had to walk. So I sometimes wonder that some of these people are hollering about what about Alaska, this, that, and the other thing, coming and trying to tell you how to live. I wish some of them had been back here at that time, see how cold it was, we didn't have the right clothing to wear, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then they wouldn't be hollering.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot different now. It doesn't seem to be quite as cold now as it used to be.
It is not as cold as it used to be.
Yeah.
I've worked out here at 58 and 60 below zero.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it was fun, but you had to do because you had to eat to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the town was much smaller when you came up then, right?
Oh, very much. I don't know what the population was, but you used to hunt rabbits when Island Homes on over there, out in South Fairbanks, all out there, Van Horn Road.
Do you think the people have changed much?
Very much so. The people have changed, but they still got a lot of old Alaskans on. You still feel like the old times was, including myself. But we sure to have a lot of people here see it a lot different.
But there's enough old timers or old people to keep the spirit of Alaska alive for you, you think?
Well, I would say, I'd have to say on that question that a lot of us here would like to see more done than, not so much done as what has been done, but we realize that you've got to keep the economy up and everything goes forward instead of backwards. But sometimes it seems like that some of the people that we push is too much forward too fast.
Do you think that's just a problem of youth, or do you think it is, wisdom comes with age, or do you think it's just a problem maybe of people coming to Alaska and wanting to do things in Alaska that they couldn't do somewhere else?
I think that's one of the major problems. They come into Alaska because some of them think they go come here and get rich.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've had people that send me letters from outside telling me that they are under the impression that electricians would make $50 and $60 an hour. They'd be willing to work for $35. I said to myself, I would too.
Holy smoke.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. You think that the Alaska attracts a lot of that? Yeah, it does attract a lot of the get rich.
I think it attracts a lot of all types of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot of good people come in up here, but it sure is a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, and hopefully they leave.
That would be the best thing that would happen.
For them to leave anymore.
If we Alaskans could put one on each arm going down the road and feed them, pin them, and take them, we'd be better off. I'm speaking of the bad people.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that happens in all kinds. But you look as though you've enjoyed your stay here and you like it. There's still a lot of good people here that you know about.
Right? Oh, yeah, I know a lot of them.
Yeah. And how did you find working here compared to working outside when you first came up?
Well, I found that I didn't find anything any different as far as working because I was taught to work all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked hard all my life. And I never had any trouble about working. I had a few things about jobs that I didn't like, but you had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see any difference.
Mm-hmm. Was it easier or harder to work here than anywhere else?
I would say it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
But on some jobs that you might not be quite welcome like you think you would be on the outside, some would say differently, but I've seen jobs here that, I wouldn't dare even try to think about getting, however. Outside, I've had good jobs out there, and people said, well, why don't you stay outside? This is true. But those jobs flat, you go with the wind. So mm-hmm. I came here, and I think I'm doing all right for myself.
Yeah. Is that your own business? I think it's very commendable. You managed to start your own business to stay alive and make it successful while you were here.
Well, I've tried to.
You probably take a lot of risks. Would you consider yourself, I hate jargon, but the term of a risk taker, almost?
Well, that's exactly what I could say about any business. Mine is a double risk taker.
Mm-hmm. That's why Coy Hill said the same thing. He thought just to come here and go into business was a tremendous...
Right.
Yeah.
I've been knowing Coy. He's a real good friend of mine. A long time.
Yeah.
What I would enjoy seeing in Alaska is people figuring out some way, instead of giving people so much, give people jobs and let them work instead of trying to help them, give them more welfare than they can get out on a job and get. I think that gives the people, makes them lazy. But maybe if we We had work from doing it one other time or any other time, though they didn't have no money. I think we'd be better off. It'd be cheaper on the street.
Oh, besides, it would give them the child respect.
Right.
And they find out that working is neat. I mean, working really is a good thing.
Right.
You know. I guess, in a way, maybe I say that because I'm lucky enough to do the work that I like and you've done work that you like. But, you know, I mean, I think, I guess maybe if I had to do work that I didn't like all my life, I might feel differently. But, I think there's a certain joy out of just doing a job well.
Well, since you said that, I've got to say one thing. I had a fellow working for me back on Lead Field years and years ago. As a matter of fact, he was my foreman. I had another guy working along. He came and told me, he said, well, he says, I'm not going to try to show this guy anything because he's not going to be anywhere. He's nothing but a bum and a drunk. But I come to find out the guy was telling this guy was a bum and a drunk. He was a bum and a drunk. However, this other kid did not know what he was doing. But I took the kid under my arm. I'm not going to call any names. But that same kid today, I wished I had the money that he has made here in Fairbanks, and he's still an outstanding citizen. That makes me feel good.
That's good, yeah. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah.
But he knows who I'm talking about.
Well, he may never know from this tape, but you never know. Right. So you met all sorts of different people when you were here. Were the people when you first came, do you think they were harder working or more industrious? Well, they must have been because there was no welfare or anything.
I never heard anything about welfare. It could have been, but everybody was working, starving, I guess. I never saw anybody starve, but you could come downtown, you know, go to most any place and buy yourself $100 or $500, take it through the winter, just telling people you needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Was no problem.
You feel that people helped each other more then?
Oh, definitely so. Mm-hmm. And I still feel today the people of Alaskans have been here a long time. They help each other.
Yeah, they do. I think
they still help each other.
Mm-hmm.
But the only one bad part about it, you get a lot of people up here and you think they're all nice people, and all of a sudden they get to you and they take off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's human nature, isn't it? I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's their problem, unfortunately, but at least they're all hurt and pain. Anyway, go ahead.
You know, some people have wondered why I left the farms of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason as far as poverty. It was not poverty with me. I worked in the farms of hoed cotton. My father wanted to give me a $100 bill if I picked 100 pounds of cotton. I picked 72 pounds of cotton. He put me in the hospital in Oxford, Mississippi, Ole Miss, for 19 days. So it cost him more than the 100 he was going to give me. Then I figured the farming was not for me. And that was my reason for completely leaving Mississippi. I think Mississippi is a good place if you're the right people in the right place. I think that you get a good education there, you can move on. The salaries are not good, but they got a lot of good people there on both sides of the fence. And we got a lot of bad ones here in Alaska and a lot of good ones. But I find anywhere you go, it's the same thing. So I'm not doubting any place where I was or here. I think it's nice.
Yeah, I think
so. You know,
yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
I want to say one thing that in my going to school, I found that if you are willing to try, someone will help you. But if you think that you know everything, you don't try to learn, then most of the time you won't get any place in life. It's hard enough if you have an education. I think of the thing once that, I don't know why I said this, Grady High School in Batesville, Mississippi, where I finished school. When I was a junior, my toast to the seniors was this. I hope that you will never mama without a cause, and I hope you will never have a cause to mama. And I said this to everybody.
To mama?
Mama without a cause. That means, you know.
That
you're crying and that this can't be done, that can't be done, and things like this. You know what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
And how to spell that? It's M-A-M-A-U-R-E, I think, mama. I think that's the way it's spelled. But I want you to look that up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I told them, and it came into the, we had a lot of, that time was black and white. We had a lot of white for the educational purposes there that night, the superintendent of education and stuff. They put it in a little paper called the Panoleon, and everybody was very interested in hearing the little poem. But I say this, if you have a chance to think that out and really follow through, it might help. That's funny.